All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us today Mr. Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Bob and I are going to talk about training. We're going to talk about tactics. We're going to talk about things that you might want to listen to. You might want to know a little bit more about. We're going to see what kind of training it is that you guys want. We can offer all different types of training. Bob and I currently are offering training October 6th, 7th, and 8th. At Teleco Plains, Tennessee, at the Ready Made Resources compound. And this is going to be involving a lot of airsoft gun usage, which does not hurt, guys. Don't be afraid to use these type of weapon systems. But it is all around you having to use what I'm teaching you to fight a human element and not standing flat-footed on the ground killing cardboard all day and wasting your money just shooting all the rounds that right now it's hard to get by. So there's a reason why we do the airsoft training. It's for use of force training. It's so that you can have multiple different factors happening at one time. You can draw a real life gun, the Umarex Glock 19X, out of a holster. It's literally a carbon copy of a Glock 19. So, it has a full blowback system. They operate awesome, guys, and if you ever want to know where to get one, just let me know. But I think this sort of training is invaluable because we can be completely safe the entire time. Just wear a thick shirt, and I provide you all the eye safety wear, and I can put you in situations with a role player that will force you to either shoot or not shoot. And that's real life. That is realistic. Bob and I have been talking for the past couple of days. How do we ramp up training to get more people interested to coming and taking the training? The thing about what I offer is what I teach is what law enforcement goes through. What I teach is what the military goes through. So if you want a really cool shoot me up course, I think we can offer that. But eventually we'll get down the road to offering that. But right now I want you to be able to use your brain, which is going to be your first tool. The second one is what you put in your hand, and that's a weapon. The whole goal behind this is to be able to teach you how to do close quarters battle, room clearing, as it's called. And from there, how to use your voice, how to de-escalate a situation that's being escalated. And you got to think that in today's light of the news, if you shoot somebody, heaven forbid, you are immediately, based off the way the public acts, you're immediately guilty before you're ever even charged with anything. So, the skills I want to give you is the skills that law enforcement goes through every single year, every single day that they work. They have to deal with these types of issues. And there's, a good reason why most law enforcement are very, very well trained. But some are not, because they don't get this training either. So this is also offered to any law enforcement officer that wants to be involved with this. If you are a Leo and you do want to come out to the course, please contact me or Bob Griswold, because I want to be able to either give you a discount or credit for coming to this course. Before we get into anything else, Bob, thanks for being on the show. We've talked about a lot of different types of training that we want to start ramping up and make it a lot more fun for people. But the lateness of the hour is what it is, Bob. It's getting more dangerous out there, is it not?
Well, we were just talking about that video that was on Twitter. And it just shows you this is the level of violence that is permeating our society. It's not that everyone is like that, but the number of people who can just walk up to somebody and shoot them down in cold blood is increasing. The number of people that can just go up to somebody and just physically harm them is increasing, and physically harm them for money, whatever, for whatever reason. You showed me that video of that creature that had the red hair, and she said the most loving thing that she had been done to her was that her boyfriend went and beat somebody up and took their money and gave it to her for Valentine's Day. That's romantic. It's just a society that we see breaking down at warp speed. You know, we have rejected God's law. We've rejected normalcy, and we've adhered to things that are just unheard of as our new paradigm model for operation for our society. And in every layer, whether it's the family breakdown, we see so much inner family crime, you know, murder, beating up grandma, shooting her, doing whatever. One kid cannibalized his grandma recently. It staggers us, but we grow cold to it. But one day, you know, the chances of it coming to you are extremely high in this nation now because of our we've almost married violence. We've taken it in, we digest it, we put it out, we watch it, we teach it, and we see it now manifesting itself. Because when you lose the respect for life that God gave every human being, that every human being is created in his image, when you lose that and it's no longer created in his image, but it's just a piece of biological material that evolved that way, the question is, why not shoot it? I mean, tell me, I've debated people before on panels, and they're atheists. And I said, well, Mr. Atheist, tell me why, if I wanted to get a gun right now and come up and blow your brains out, why that would be wrong. And no matter all their pontificating, in the end, that argument falls down flat, because the lion doesn't feel guilty when he eats a sheep. He's looking, thinking about the next sheep. You know, so the way we see civilization working, we've reduced ourselves basically to brute beasts. As a society, we teach, you know, this brute beast mentality in school, whether it's in the sexual nature and a violent nature, whatever. We just reduce kids to these, you know, entities that just don't have any moral compass whatsoever. And so we see this increase violence upon violence upon violence. And it is going to affect you. It's going to affect somebody around you. The video Doug and I were watching, we can't put on this platform, but, you know, the man just walks right up to this woman and puts two in her head and one in her chest, and she never sees it coming. You know why? Because this is this close. And just that's what it is. It's that close to her face. So, yeah. And seconds later, you can see she has her cell phone, and she's totally oblivious to it. These people here, I'm sure they're involved somehow, because they all run. They're probably tracking or trapping her or whatever. And, you know, her lack of attention cost her her life. And we see this played out hundreds of times every year in America, where, you know, lack of situational awareness is costing people life or limb. Or even something like, you know, being robbed, which today, since most families are living paycheck to paycheck, means no groceries this week. I can't pay the rent payment this week. And so it has a dramatic effect on that family's, you know, well-being. You know, we can't do anything because dad was robbed because he was just walking down the street with his cell phone in his face, and he didn't pay attention to the two guys walking up to him coming the opposite direction. And so, Doug, this is what training does. You know, it teaches us to be aware. It teaches us to have a grasp of our environment. You know, professionally, it's called OODA loop: orient, observe, decide, and act. And most, you know, we do it all the time. We don't realize we're doing it, but, you know, we need to put this into practice, that we always orient to our situation. We always make critical decisions about our situation, what we're doing, who's around us, what environment it is, what time of day. And then we decide and act upon those conditions. And most people don't do that anymore. This young lady who lost her life was totally oblivious to the fact that she was moments away from death. And since he shot her in the face at point blank range, I mean, she probably never even knew it happened.
Well,
go ahead.
The thing that's sad is this is black on black crime.
Yes.
And this woman, I don't know what or why, but it was obviously an assassination. But she has now become what we in law enforcement call a statistic. Now, I tell people to avoid becoming statistics. And the way you can best avoid that is ensuring that you are either an asset or not a liability. You know, Bob, when you park your car, when you're going to Walmart, if you immediately are on your phone the entire time, and then as you get out of your car, you're on your phone, you walk into Walmart, you're on your phone, you've given either a thief, a violent robber, or a kidnapper ample amount of time to kidnap you and or to rob you and run with whatever you got or take your car right away from you. I've seen all three. Yeah. And here's the thing. People do not count on the knight in shining armor in the Walmart parking lot to save you. People in 2023 have become incredible cowards. How many different times do you need to watch a video that's being produced by people's phones on a train car of a guy being stabbed, people being, gang raped, or gangs of people robbing and beating up people? Now, there's a statistic here as well. It's almost always in a Democratic city. So if you live in a Democratic city, if you work in a Democratic city, if you go in and out of a heavily Democratic city, you run the gambit every day, and eventually your number will come up. You will come into that environment that we warn people about. Either it'll be the fatal funnel of the doorway you have to walk through where the threat is right there, or you're going to be in the OK Corral of a shooting that's going on, like in Philadelphia. Remember how many different shootings they've had in Philadelphia in the middle of the broad daylight, in the middle of the street. Hundreds of rounds going off because gangs are shooting at each other. That used to be Chicago, used to be L.A., San Francisco, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, used to be New York. That now, honestly, it's just a city near you. It's not. These violent encounters are no longer at these large mega cities anymore. They're in the small rural towns now. They're in the suburbs now. And the love of many has waxed cold. The need for greed and wealth has become so virulent. You have two kinds of people in America right now, two kinds. You have the kind who work for the money and the kind who work you for your money. And that's either going to be stealing from you as the politician or stealing from you as the thief. So you have to really keep your head on a swivel, situational awareness, SA, situational awareness, 360 degrees situational awareness, in everywhere you go and everything that you do. There's not been one day that I have not carried a gun. Not one day. Now, in Texas, we can do things a little differently than other people. We can carry guns almost or wherever we want. There's a few states that are like that. But you also got to know your state laws. But I will say this. I have USCCA just in case I ever have to put my hands on somebody, stab somebody, hit somebody, shoot somebody. The first phone call is going to be 911. The second phone call is that lawyer 1-800 call and help me. You got to think about things like this now. You know, Bob, back in the day, we didn't have these kinds of problems nationwide, and now we do, and they only are compounded because it's an election season. And I'll say this too, speak on this. There is a spirit of violence that is amongst the youth of America. There is a spirit of violence amongst the youth.
Yes.
They have grown extraordinarily brazen in their antics. Look at San Francisco, what just happened in Florida recently. You know, you have all these major malls that are being robbed left and right. Unfortunately, many of the assailants come from the Black community. That has nothing to do with racism. Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, the TV's lying to you as you're watching all the crime scenes, that has nothing to do with racism. That's, once again, a sad statistic. And it comes from poverty, lack of fathers, lack of discipline, and a love of greed and ghetto-ness that is destroying Americans left and right. Not very many people want to take this on. Not very many people want to talk about it because, what, they'll label you as a racist. They'll label you as a, you know, a bigot, a fearmonger, a hater. Who cares? Whatever. It is what it is. Now, I can take you to some of the trashiest trailer parks where you'll be probably more scared than some of the darkest ghettos. But that violence is everywhere. It's full spectrum. Let me take you down to the border. You'll see a whole nother kind of terror when you go down to the border and you deal with the Mexican gangs. Those guys are not afraid to cut you up and cannibalize you. They do it on a regular. And you also have the satanic crimes that are still around since the 80s and the satanic panic. The satanic crimes never went away. They never went underground. They just go out to the back. That's where they are. And they kidnap people everywhere. You know, the child abduction has increased. The human trafficking has increased. Violence itself has increased. And as the master, Jesus Christ, said, he will be returning when it is like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, it was violence begetting violence. It was violence against everything, to include the word of God. Dare you say we are not in that time now? Go ahead, Bob.
No, we're absolutely in that time, you know, and also, as you pointed out, one of the Proud Boys just got 17 years in prison. I forgot his name, but for basically shaking a fence and yelling, you know, at the Capitol, 17 years.
Owen Schroyer from InfoWars.
Yeah, 6 months in prison. Yeah. For doing it. And on the other hand, then we have that gentleman who took his car and ran over that, what he presumed was a MAGA Republican young man, ran him over. He gets 5 years in prison. So we have to look at and understand there is no justice in our country left for people who are conservative and Christian in their thinking. That they're going to come after us. And the criminal element of America knows that if they do that, if it's black on white crime, it won't get any reporting. If it's, you know, sexual violence, it won't get any mention. And so it emboldens them more and more. It's just like when you see these flash mobs go into a store, they know they're not going to get targeted by the police. So they just go in and, you know, do what they do, steal hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of expensive equipment and leave. So we live in this time of absolute lawlessness. And you mentioned USCCA. Just to explain it to people who don't know what that is, and I also am a member, United States Concealed Carry Association, USCCA.org, I believe. And what it allows you to do is buy an insurance policy so that if you're ever involved with a shooting, you know, you have insurance against numerous things. Well, first of all, civil lawsuit. You could get sued by the people, and you will get sued. There'll always be some, you know, grieving relative who comes out of the woodwork. No, John was a good friend of mine, you know, haven't seen him in 50 years, but you know, you'll hear that. And I want to, you know, sue. You have to survive the possible criminal charges that you're going to face, because depending on where you're at, you can have criminal charges against you. And it doesn't matter if he was stabbing you or not. In fact, there was one gentleman who was, I think, shot by someone with a gun. I'm trying to remember the details of it. Took the gun away from the guy and shot him. And he was the guy who shot back and defended himself after he'd been shot, was charged with, you know, possession of an illegal firearm. I mean, that was in New York City, of course. I mean, it's the insanity of it. And so the insanity goes on and on and on. And that's why, you know, with UCA is the only thing that makes logical sense, because our society has literally, all sanity has gone out the door. And on top of that, we have a population of sheep. We've been told we don't fight back. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody's coming and beating your head in, you don't fight back. And I see it. I see people get monkey stomped and they all, they just go into a fetal position, and they don't try to get up and fight back in any way, shape, form, or fashion. They just get there and get monkey stomped. And so we have a mentality of sheep, and we have these people that have been raised in a feral nature, no mother, excuse me, no father. And so they have no moral code whatsoever. Like the gentleman in that video you showed, who, I mean, he just walked up to her, not even batting an eye. We can't show it because, you know, it would be a strike against us, but he just shoots her in the face twice. And then when he's walking away, he looks like he puts one in her body. But we fail to remember how many of these people are. I grieve for that young woman, you know, for whatever reason, she didn't deserve that, to have her life ended that way. And I'm afraid a lot of my fellow countrymen are like that. They don't have any situational awareness at all. I remember long, long ago, my friend Mark, who at that time was a Palm Bay police officer, we were riding with him, and it was just how many people, when you ride with a police officer and see in the car, how many people do not pay attention to their environment? You know, they've been a victim of crime or a potential victim of crime where somebody has tried to do something against them. Well, what were you doing at the time? And it's usually behavior that is conducive to the thief. You know, I was out late at night by myself, a dark parking lot, something like that. I didn't check my car. You know, the excuses go on and on and on. And this doesn't make it right. It just makes it convenient for the criminal who victimizes people based upon his assessment of how easy it will be. And you said, you know, the criminal who watches some person just walk through the parking lot, phone in face, daydreaming a mile away, you know, carrying their groceries, nothing, not paying attention to anything, and they become a victim of crime. He has made an assessment that will be an easy target. You know, one of the things I love teaching people, and I like to see it incorporated into their life, and I know you use the principles of it in the class that you teach, is something called OODA loop, OODA, observe, orient, decide, and act. You know, instead of, you know, observing and orienting and deciding and acting to this thing, this is your interface all throughout the day, whether you're in public or private. You need to start paying attention to the world. And the condition is like this. If I was going to Walmart, and I drove up to Walmart and saw an ambulance with maybe a police car outside, you know, I would observe that. I'd orient to it. I'd probably make a decision that it was something, you know, a heart attack or maybe just one guy trying to steal something, got hurt. Not a pretty minor incident. And I would probably still go to Walmart and, you know, shop. But if on the other hand, you know, I pull up to Walmart and there's 10 police cars out there and, you know, 6, 8, 10 ambulances, you know, my observe, orient, decide, and act is going to be completely different. And that's just a matter of paying attention to your environment of where you're at. If I have a choice to go to Walmart at night, or if I have a choice to go during the day, if I'm a woman, I mean, I'm sorry to say, and this isn't meant to be prejudicial towards women, it's just that women are weaker than men. And if you give men, you start stacking up, you know, tools in his favor. Night is a tool in his favor. Can't see as well. People can't identify him as well. So if I had a chance to go out during the day or go out at night, I'm going to pick the day. So this OODA loop principle, I would say if effectively put it into your life, you're going to avoid 99% of crime. You're just going to avoid it because you're going to understand it. You're going to watch it. Jeff Cooper had his four zones: white, yellow, orange, and red, you know, and you should never get to red, you know. White and yellow should be where you're at. You know, I notice a group of people over there that they're young, they're rowdy, you know, in my cars, I have to walk past them to get to my car. You know, I'm going to make a semicircle and go around a different way. I'm going to avoid that. And so I've observed it, oriented to it. I made a decision not to walk past them. And in doing that, there's a good chance I saved myself at least some harassment. You know, and so this is what we need. This is the new paradigm we're in America, a paradigm of violence, a paradigm of sexual violence. And I know I've shared this story many, many times that, you know, a federal law enforcement guy. We were talking one time, and I knew him quite well. He asked me, we have a society saturated with violence and pornography. And, this isn't 1950s pornography. This is gross, depraved pornography. Violence, expressed in the pornography or just obscene things. So we have a society obsessed with that. And when rule of law breaks down or when opportunity presents itself, they're going to act out what they fed into their brain. And so we have a society filled with people like that. And so it really is becoming daily more and more incumbent on us to be aware of our environment, to carry self-defense tools as much as we can in the state in which we live. And then for everything, just training. I mean, I know many special forces people, they have very little direct engagement with the enemy, but they're training all the time. The training is 90% of their life in the military. Train, 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 train. And then, every once in a while, they'll go on a mission where all those skills that they've learned come into play. It's not the other way around. They're not Johnny Rambo 6 days a week, and then for a half a day they train. That's not the way it works. And so when you have the opportunity to come and get training, it's more important. I mean, training is almost more important than your weapon. I would say it is, because I have the training, I can usually avoid the need for the weapon. It's more important than having a bunch of stuff. Your safe queens. Oh, you should see this AR-15 I've got in there. It's got this special modified trigger and grenade launcher. All this stuff that they love to talk about, but you look at it and you see it's never been used. I have a 1911 over there on my chair, and you can tell it's fairly worn. It's been shot a lot. It's been carried a lot, and the bluing on it's taken some beating, and but the reason is because I've used it. When I look at a gun and it's sitting in a holster, and you pull it out of the holster and there's not a scratch on it anywhere, you look and go, when's the last time you shot this thing? And the answer is pretty much never. I don't shoot it. That's to look at. Well, why do you carry it then? And I carry it without a bolt in the chamber, of course. Having the proper training. Doug, you've been in the military. You've been around special forces people. You'd agree with me that whether it's the Green Bay, whether it's, Navy SEALs, 90% of what they do is training and 10% might be operational. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I've trained and operated with a lot of those guys, from military all the way to law enforcement. And I will say this, that your average infantry guy, like I was Marine Corps infantry, your average infantry guy probably has more experience than anyone else because it is a job. I mean, we were going on patrols 2 to 3 times a day between, 4 hours a piece, typically, unless you're doing like a 2 day or a 2-part patrol, a day and night patrol, and you're out for, 5-6 hours at times. That's 12 hours of waiting for combat every single day. And you develop a lot of techniques, a lot of skills. I'll tell you the thing that is, and this is what I tell people at the training, is that the best training you get is when someone tells you about the little things to cue in on. Mm-hmm. As I teach people the simplicity of just trying to go through a doorway, which is one of the most dangerous things that you can engage in, is close quarters fighting, which, by the way, for anyone who doesn't live in a tent or open air outside, if you live in a home, get ready for close quarters fighting. Going through that doorway properly, understanding the depth of rooms, understanding short walls, long walls, small rooms, large rooms, multiple different threats above, below. Learning these little skills is what helps people analyze the battlefield. And that's the thing. You have to analyze the battlefield. If you're out in the middle of the street and you get into a brawl with multiple people, you know, you hit one, hopefully they get knocked down. You look for the next bad guy. That's analyzing your battlefield. If you're in a bar fight, anybody else ever been in a bar fight? You expect typically to be fighting multiple people, and you're analyzing the battlefield. Well, why in the hell aren't you training that way for your house, your kingdom, your castle, where the most valuable and vulnerable people of your life are living in? Your children, your wife, your husband. You know, but Bob, I know a lot of people, and I'm going to poke some people in the eye right now, and it's going to irritate them, and that's okay. I am here to irritate you and step on your toes. If you have a house filled full of thousands of dollars of equipment, thousands of dollars of survival food, this and survival knives, and the unbreakable solar-powered flashlight, and you have all this other doohickey, as seen on TV, survival crap, and your rifle, AK, AR, shotgun, pistol gets a jam in it as you're shooting the bad guy who's entering your house, and you don't know what to do afterwards, you don't know how to fix the malfunction, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong, and as a man, shame on you for not knowing more, because I guarantee you, most of you men know how to work that remote control. Most of you men know how to open the door on that refrigerator and close it like a damn champion. But most of you, and I've trained a lot of you, and I'm not talking about people who are coming to the course, but I've trained a lot of civilians. I've trained a lot of people, law enforcement and military. And most of you that are probably up in your feelings right now saying, Doug's picking on me, I'm probably speaking to you. Most of you are out of shape, overweight. You've never been in a real fight, and you've never been in the fight I'm talking about, but yet you get online, you get in the comment section, you talk about how you're ready for Russia and China to get here, or you're ready to take over the government because the bastards are in charge. But most of you, let's have a reality check, are not ready for someone to break into your house tonight. And that, statistically, is going to happen before all the other science fiction crap that we talk about happens. Before the poltergeists and the demons and the aliens and the giants and the New World Order and the Illuminati, the method down your street who needs his next fix, and the best way to get that is by stealing your crap to buy it, that dude is most likely going to pay you a visit before someone else does. Or if you live on the border, you already know how bad it is. If you live anywhere around any type of metropolis, you know how bad it is. And not everyone knows where to get training. Not everyone can afford training. I like to think, Bob, that what we do, and I'm not beyond, Bob, saying, hey, look, I can afford half of what you need for the training right now. Talk with us. Call us, because I would rather people get the training, and when you go home, you feel confident you can protect your loved ones. You can teach others. Hey, Doug showed me this little thing about how to go around a corner, how to deal with someone when they're irate. Because if you can pass that survival knowledge on to someone else, then we have all succeeded in this chain of command. Bob, I would love to do nothing more than to give a course out for free and say, come as you are. Here's a donation box. But I know damn good and well it's not going to get filled. That's reality. Okay. It's not going to get filled. I have friends of mine who've put on stuff like this for free, and it cost them a lot of money. It cost me a lot of money to bring instructors in and to pay for them and pay for their travel. And we also have to pay Bob for the facilities that we use. This costs money to put together, but we are the cheapest you can find. Not cheap training, but cheapest cost, because we know that this is part of our ministry, that for the body of Christ to be prepared for the times that are coming, For one thing, you need to show up and participate. If you're going to show up to church, you might want to show up for training. If you're going to show up for every freaking conference that goes on out there so you can meet your idols who write their books and all their TV stuff so you can practically not learn anything, but you can walk around and mingle with people, that's fun. I go to those too. But if you are serious about this, and I'm speaking to the men folk, I'm speaking specifically to the men folk, okay? Be honest with yourself. We're adults here. If you knew how many guys emailed me a month, Doug, what about this gun? Doug, what about this camo? Doug, what about this book on tactics? You know what I ask people? When's the last time you went to the range and just shot 3 magazines? Oh, well, I shoot every day. No, you don't. Don't give me that. I can stand in front of a paper target and shoot every day. Are you training, though? The paper target's not coming to attack you. The paper target and the cardboard target's not breaking down your door. It's people, and people don't always listen to you. I was a cop for 10 years. You know how many times I told someone, get out on the ground, get out on the ground, and they just stared at me? I ain't going to do it. Well, shit, now I got to put my gun up. Now I got to go put my hands on you. Now I got to see if I can talk you into doing what I want. It's those little things that I can answer those questions. I can put you in those scenarios and I can give you my experience. It helped me. And this is what cops go through. And, you know, here's my complaint, and I'll give this back to you. I have no idea why I have to bust my hump to put this training on for civilians when it should be put on by every single law enforcement office in America. Every single police department should be putting on a course to help train the civilian population to protect themselves. But they don't. They don't because the law enforcement of today is taught that the American people are the enemy. That's what they're taught. They're taught that while they're in basic training, and then it's reinforced by the FBI and the DEA and the ATF and the White House and the DOJ and every incumbent that runs for president. You've already seen it. Half of you are deplorable.
And the public school you send your children to?
My Lord, it's a criminal factory. We used to call the prisons criminal factories. Now it's the high school. It's the middle school. Wasn't there just a 6-year-old in a kindergarten class who brought a gun to school,
yes,
killed his teacher, and said, quote, I'm glad I shot that bitch.
Yeah.
That's what he said. A 6-year-old, man. I for one thing, my 6-year-old would be terrified of me just looking at her. You know, but where's the father in that child's life? Where's the responsibility of the adult to keep those weapons unloaded and out of the hands of the children so that they can't get into it? But once again,
it goes worse than that. What developed the mindset in a 6-year-old that said, I'm glad I killed that. You know what? It goes beyond where, how did they get the weapon? All those questions.
Have you ever seen online video game chat rooms?
Yeah.
The way these 10, 11 and 12 year olds talk to each other about killing one another. Oh, it's a fun time. It's a fun time.
The violence is very, very addictive. And these kids get addicted to that violence. And there's a blur in reality. And they figure out that one day they just go do it. Now, not every child's going to do it, but it does happen more and more. And we just watch it. All you have to do is turn the news on and you watch it day by day. So going back to the training thing, you know, you do not see the scenarios that Doug has seen day by day, you know, and how to respond to those scenarios. This is the thing I like about it. Now, I think we're going to do some live fire training at this next one.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yeah,
we're going to do some live fire. So you get to get the guns out and, you know, shoot and learn some transition drills, things of that nature. But this is... You can't do this in a shoot house scenario, unless you have a very expensive shoot house. We have dummies. But you're going to actually get into an environment where things shoot back and it's not going to hurt because they're just these BBs, but that leaves a level of training that you will not forget I can absolutely tell you, positively tell you, I've been through it many times, what fear does to you physiologically. I mean, you know, you find yourself in a foreign country and things maybe aren't going the way that you thought they would go. And, you know, I'm being surveilled, I mean, whatever. And you get a case of fear that you go back, even when you go back to your hotel room and you put your head down on your bed, there's a good chance your hotel room surveilled, but you're just laying there, just being sleep deprived because there's this fear that's constantly bombarding your body. And that's what we seek to do in our training, is to create that fear and replicate it as much as we can, obviously without actually shooting people with live fire. But this is the value of it. Facing that fear. You don't want to get shot, even with a little green BB. You want to shoot the other guy. And when you have that opportunity to do it, you have to process all that cortisol in your body. You have to process the flight or flight mechanism, that your hands won't work as well because blood goes to the core of your body. Your vision can change. All these things happen to you when you get in that scenario, even though, you know, both of us are going to get it and walk away from this, but I want to be the guy who shoots him, not get shot. So I don't know anybody else who teaches it like that, where you actually face the realization of getting hit with something.
Well, this next course,
excuse me for the cough. Apologize.
This next course is going to be the intermediate. It's not going to be a basic, and we are going to do a fight for life. This is something that we did in law enforcement. We're going to put you through a little bit of paces. We're going to beat on you a little bit, and we're going to make your blood pressure get up to that 160, 170, so that you can understand and think and walk your way through that situation. Because if you've ever been into a fight, the fight goes to the ground. And if you have a gun on you and the fight goes to the ground, the gun is in the fight. Do you know how to?
How many people know this, that in a gunfight, even the most seasoned professionals can crap themselves, can piss their pants, because they lose body function. There's so much of that core survival mechanism going on, they actually lose body functions. Lieutenant Colonel Grossman addresses this in one of his books, where they just, I mean, you know, the muscles that hold it in don't work anymore, and it all comes out. And so that, again, that's what we seek to do. Not that you're going to actually do that, but we seek to replicate and create a fear in you that you will understand when you really do face it and be able to process it. You know, when you go into a hostile country or a hostile environment and you've been briefed ahead of time, what's going to probably happen, you know, how you might be what I call soft interrogated, and interrogation by conversation, and, you know, how their goal is to raise your stress level just to see what makes you tick. When you go through that, you can handle it a lot better. You know, I can just tell you from firsthand experience, you can handle it a lot better. Now, the first time you go through it, it's one thing. But if you keep going through it, you get better at handling it each time.
Yep.
So,
you know, we're going to be putting through also a part of a SEER course. One of the things that I intend to fully do for people is you're going to have an after-action review, where you are going to be questioned as to why you decided or did not decide to shoot somebody. I'm going to make you think. And this is what you're going to be asked by law enforcement. You're going to be asked by lawyers. Look, the thing that I don't want to ever create in people is an unrealistic scenario where you think you are, you know, John Wick, and you're just going to one tap everybody and walk out of an area on your own behalf every time, because that's unrealistic and it's dangerous. And, you know, the other problem is I evaluate people's gear, and I'm going to point out to you if there's something wrong, if there's something you should change. I'm not going to make you do anything. I can't make people fill up a class. But, you know, the thing about it is that if you don't ever get pushed if you don't get pushed to a certain level of degree of discomfort in training, then you're not really training. Especially for men. Have you ever went to football practice and you just did half pads the entire time? And then, the season comes and you've been half pads, two touch below. You never went through tackling drills or anything really heavy. I mean, how'd your team do that year? Or for the better half of you, was it ever like that? Or did you go full pads, shotgun alley, and you're up there blowing each other up in linebacker versus running back drills? But, once you get out of high school and college, men stop doing that. Very few men will join karate, kickboxing, boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu. Even fewer will go to tactical training. We can hold 24 people in this course. I don't expect to get 12. Currently, we have 4 or 5. And once again,
consider coming to this. Let me show you. If I showed up with this at a training course, I love the 1911. It's a very, very old and good platform, but it has 8 rounds in it. Modern firearms, you can hold to 17, 18 rounds. I wouldn't want to carry a gun with the Punisher. The lawyers would just absolutely love that. I would start, if I saw this weapon show up, it looks cool. It's a cool looking gun. It's a fun gun to play with, and it is cleared. But it's not tactically sound to use a gun like this in today's environment. Too few rounds with somebody showing up with a gun with 17, 18 rounds. And Punisher handled things on it, which a lawyer would love if I had to shoot somebody with it. And so when Doug picks on your equipment, he's doing it for your good. How fast you can shoot 8 rounds will spin your head. How fast you can go through 8 rounds of ammunition. And then what do? Have to change a magazine. Well, the guy who has the Glock or the H&K or whatever that has 16, 17 rounds in it, he doesn't have to do that. So you've just given away seconds in a gunfight where half seconds rule and reign.
I like my SIG P320 Spectre Comp because I carry 22 rounds in this gun. 22 rounds. This is plain Jane stock. I don't do anything to my guns. But
I wouldn't recommend doing anything to your guns. I don't want that super high performance trigger with a half a pound pull because the lawyer's going to eat that up. Mm-hmm. I want a stock gun, that I'm going to carry that has a high capacity magazine so I can stay in the fight longer. So, think about this. I have to have 2 magazines for this gun to equal 1 of his. And then I'm not even quite, I think you probably have 17 rounds. That would be 16. It'd be even if I put one in the chamber and carried 2, carried the magazines. So we have to be willing. And again, I love the 1911 platform. I think it's a great design, but it is dated. And so I have to walk beyond that and say, what am I going to do now? If it's all I had, sure. But I have options today to do things that are going to make my chances of survival much better, including the training. And we don't want to make this sound like an infomercial. Literally, I know Doug really well, and I think he knows me really well. Both of us love the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of us, we grieve over, when we see innocent blood shed that didn't need to be shed. I just grieve over it, to see some father with a lost son, a lost wife, due to crime, and knowing that that crime's not going to get paid for, there's not going to be any real justice. They're going to go through trial, and the guy is going to make all kinds of wild accusations. Oh, your wife begged me to rape her. And you're going to have to endure all that. And I've seen it in court, where it's just absolutely insane what the defense attorney will say, trying to get his thing off. And you have to endure all that. What our goal is as Christian men is to teach you that you never have to endure that circumstance, have to endure a circumstance where you have to bury a child. because that child was in the wrong place at the wrong time. How you can when you come to this class, you take it home and you teach your wife, you teach your children. I mean, I'm not talking about scaring them. You know, I'm talking about just teaching them how to be safe in this unsafe world. So we do that. And that's our mission and goal for you, is to give you skills and techniques that will allow you to protect your family, because violence is coming. We are not going to avoid it. For the last 100 years, America has sown violence everywhere it has gone. And we sow violence against the family. We sow violence against God's law. We sow violence against, I mean, just even the simple things of life, we sow violence against it. And we are going to have a full measure dumped back on us. That's how God recompenses, you know, for the sin that you commit. A lot of times it's going to be the sin that you have to deal with. And so knowing that, you know, my goal, you know, with Ready Made Resources is to provide equipment. Doug's goal is to provide training. And if you don't have it, again, well, it might sound like I'm beating a dead horse. You have put yourself at such a disadvantage. You cannot even imagine it, because you just think they're sitting there watching TV and doing that and being 50 pounds overweight, having a gun locked up somewhere. You know, you're gonna be able to handle when a gang shows up. You're not going to be able to handle it. You know, you're not going to know the danger points. That I'm not going that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to do this, because our ultimate goal is to avoid those types of things and not be engaged in them. But you know, if you have people at a home invasion, Dave Hodges asked me one time, well, what are you going to do, Bob, when a girl with a little baby shows up at your front door and says she's hungry? And the first thing I told him is I'm going to send a shooter to the back door, because that girl's the eye candy, the thing that's going to distract me from reality of what's going on. And second of all, how did she get that close inside my perimeter without me knowing about it? But, you know, she's the eye candy, and who's at my back door at that point? Because while I'm distracted, while she's, you know, maybe teasing me with her wares, you know, there's somebody at the back door that's going to get in and execute my family. So learning those tactics is just absolutely critical. Putting them into practice is critical. Feeling the rush, the adrenaline, the fear of actually even getting shot with airsoft is something that you cannot replicate by standing still and shooting paper until the paper is blown away.
Yeah, that's why I think this is a more complete course, because we put you through scenario-based training. We put you through basic tactics, which everyone needs to know basic tactics. Basic weapons handling. The only way you get advanced is by doing it so much that it becomes second nature, and then slow becomes smooth and smooth becomes fast. All this stuff you see these guys doing on TikTok and YouTube and Twitter, and they're doing all these really cool shoot 'em up stuff. Most of those guys have been doing it most of their life, like me, and it's entertaining and it's clickbait. But when you talk about training, you know, Bob, and I'm gonna be hard on people. I want to put it right out in the front. As an instructor, I'm not here to be your friend. Being your friend and teaching you softly with kid gloves does not make you go home and be a more efficient asset to yourself, your family, or to your community. So I need you to put on your big boy pants. And if you got to get, you know, you got to get told something serious because you're making errors that could be lethal to you, then bite your teeth and just go, okay, I'll understand. I'll say this. I'll never yell at anybody unless you point a gun at me, and I'm going to point my gun back at you. I'll never yell at anybody or denigrate anybody or downgrade anybody, but I will say, hey, you're tripping. You're going too fast. Look at your sights. You're doing the same thing over and over again. Stop going so fast. There are some guys that, you know, and we saw it in the last two classes, they go through and they're just bouncing everywhere when they're walking through the house. Your eyes are fixed on your head, onto your neck. Your neck and head is not bouncing, but if your gun is bouncing, okay, let's do this. If your gun is bouncing, all right, like this, as you're walking through, where are my sights at? Well, my sights are moving up and down, up and down. You are not going to make an accurate shot with your sights bouncing up and down, not in your peripheral, not fixed right in front of your nose. And if we're talking about an environment where Uvalde, there's a school. Okay, and I'll say this. If my child was at Uvalde, I would make a mechanical entry to get in there. Law enforcement be damned. If someone is in my house, you're coming out in pieces. That is what happens you when you walk into my kingdom. And if your mindset is not there, you're already way behind, way behind. And we got to bring you up. We got to bring you up.
You know, when threat level increases, the two things you'll notice, people walking around, they don't even think about it. Safety off. They don't put the safety on because there's adrenaline going on and they don't think about it. Your brain starts working in a different manner. And then this, you see people walking around like that. And it's not that they don't know better, but under stress, your body, your mind will forget things. This has to become second nature. I've just done firing. I throw it on safety. I get my finger off this thing called the trigger, the booger hooker off the bang switch. I want to take it off. And you know, you can know those things by heart, repeat them, you know, tell Doug when everything's normal, well, what do? Do I put it on safety and take my finger off the trigger? But under stress, you're going to experience it differently. I've done it. I've been finished with an AR shooting. I mean, when Lovell was here, I finished it, and I was walking away, and he goes, Bob, safety. And I looked, and I went, I didn't do it, you know? And I 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time I do it, but that's just that one time I didn't put it on safety. And so, you know, that's what real life training does for you. So
the you know, we had a lady show up for the last course. She's either mid to late 60s or maybe even early 70s. She signed up again and will be at this next course, knowing what this next course is going to be like, because she told me she never wants to be a victim. And God bless her. And I'll tell you what, man, I will train that lady to the full standard of what I promise. And I do. And she will be more prepared than the average 30-year-old man, 40-year-old man, 50-year-old man who goes, oh, I got a shotgun and my deer rifle and, I, you know, the AR I bought from the gun shop. I'll be fine. Okay. I dare you take that mindset, take your weapons, come to my course. Let me put you on the flat range and let's go through some drills. Let's see how accurate you are. Maybe you are that good. But even if you are accurate standing at a flat range, let me put an actual problem in front of you where you don't have the ability to shoot. Or let's take your gun away from you. Now you have to use your voice because you can't carry a gun everywhere. You know, so we're also going to have a point where people are going to get to see a knife attack simulation. And they're going to see how fast a knife attack happens. We're using red Sharpies, so no one freak out. But you're going to get to see how fast and how violent a knife attack is and how quickly you can or cannot come out of the holster. How many of you, your hand's going to get stuck in the holster. Your gun will get stuck in the holster. The gun will get stuck on people's clothes. People's clothes. We did a quick draw. We do quick draw contests. Everybody loves a quick draw contest. And most of the students, their clothes impacted the ability to draw the pistol correctly and then push out with the gun because everyone wore these big baggy shirts or their pants were big and baggy. And I have no idea where this comes from or some guys just look like, you know, a soup sandwich coming to training, and some guys are neat and trim. I'll tell you this much. You need to be neat and trim if you're carrying a firearm. You don't want anything in the way as you're pulling that pistol out of its holster. If you're appendix carrying or if you're carrying on your hip, don't ever carry on your back. It's just stupid to do that unless that's your backup gun, right? But if you are if you're carrying appendix, if you're, which is right in front of you at the belt buckle, or if you're carrying on your hip, your clothing should not be an obstruction to you. It's the first thing you have to get past is your clothing, your belt line. And if it gets to the point where it's obstructing you shooting, you know, you're not always either going to punch out and shoot from full extension. There's a lot of times where you're going to shoot at the bent elbow right here. And if you have never shot that way, and I can show you where law enforcement has got caught up with their uniforms, and that first shot, the weapon cycled, and then the slide caught onto the officer's uniform, all right, caused a malfunction. He only got one shot off. Well, did you know that typically one bullet doesn't kill somebody, especially if they're on meth or if they're on fentanyl or crocodilian or any of these other abnormally crazy stuff? Methamphetamines is the worst, man. PCP. Man, we fought with this one guy who was on PCP. I was at the sheriff's department then. We probably fought with him for about 20 minutes. And after the fifth time we tased him, he said yes, sir, to us. I mean, I could tell you officers right now, I've been tased. Being tased sucks. And when you've had to tase someone five times and you get, you know, two or three 200 to 300 pound men trying to hold on to you. This guy was about 5'4", 130 pounds. And he whooped two of us. Not me, but he whooped two of us. I got called in right at the last minute because I was in the booking area. And just to see the aftermath of the taser cartridges everywhere, and our sergeant was like, hold on to him. I went in there and I just bear hugged him. And by the time I bear hugged him and turned, he got a full taser right in the chest, and the other probe hit him in the leg. He had a full neuromuscular lockup, and I just held on to him while he screamed. It was so funny. But it five times he took the ride, 50,000 volts. What happens when you get that demonized guy? What happens when the lights go out, law enforcement don't show up no more, and you got all your preps, and everybody knows you're a prepper, and you got your big old RV out there, and you got, you know, your boat, and you got all your nice pretty quads and your Corvette Stingray, and you got all this stuff that everybody wants, nice pretty in-ground pool in the back, pretty sure you got what they call money. You don't think someone's going to pay you a visit? You don't think your buddies ever pay attention to how many Amazon Prime boxes you get every week? You don't think people don't know when they come to visit and they see all this, you know, tactical stuff everywhere? Or you don't think people pay attention to you when you're leaving with all your tactical stuff and you go into the shooting range? People watch you. People know you, don't they, Bob? People know you. People will come and test you. And they will come and find you at your weakest moment, which is typically when you're sleeping.
It's called patterns of life. And, you know, a smart person is going to break up his patterns of life, because a pattern of life is something that's predictable, and it allows criminals to, you know, victimize you better because they know what you'll do. You come home the same way every day. You stop off and get a beer before you go home. I mean, all those things that are called patterns of life. And this is one of the things you learn is how to break up those patterns of life, so that you do not give the bad guy that opportunity. Again, you know, OODA loop, orient, observe, orient, decide, and act. You know, how to incorporate that into your life, so that, you know, the goal is not to be in that situation. Now, when you're on that situation, you're just at home, and you might have some telltale signs of wealth, or it's just some group that's just going to, you know, go into a neighborhood and just do some home invasions. You know, you've got to decide very, very quickly what you're going to do, because they, you know, most doors do not have the ability to withstand much of an impact. You know, a good swift kick, and you can take most doors off, or if they bring a sledgehammer or a big crowbar, which they probably will, they can get into your house very quickly. That's why, you know, having, you know, your friendly assistant everywhere you're at is a very valuable thing, and you'll learn that. So again, we don't want to keep drumming this thing, but
I'll do it. Here, let me share a screen with you real quick. I'll beat this drum until people turn me off. I don't care anymore. Look at this. You think gun violence is not a problem in America? just wait until the lights go out. Total number of gun violence this year for all causes, 30,500 people. 30,500 people have been involved. 16,000 of them are suicides. Homicide, murder, unintentional, 13,538. Total number of injuries, 26,665. Mass shootings this year, 499. Mass murders, 30. Number of children from ages 0 to 11 killed, 216. Injured, 499. Number of teens ages 12 to 17 killed, 1,035. Injured, 2,893. Officer-involved incidents killed, 35. Officer killed or injured, 269. Officer-involved incident where the officer was, this is where the officer was killed, where the officer killed somebody. 1,119 shootings this year. Suspect killed or injured, 570. Defensive uses this year alone, and this is just, you know, still being updated and categorized, 851. Unintentional shootings, 1,139. You have
an IRS agent just did that very thing at a training course.
You have
shot a fellow agent.
You have a higher chance of unintentionally shooting yourself,
yeah,
a wrong person. Look, we don't talk about this type of stuff very much, and between me, you, and the fence post, Bob, I've been told by a few people, Doug, you don't really sell what you do very well. And I don't. I just put it out there. Hey, I'm providing tactical training. This is the stuff that we go over. If you have questions, contact me. I'll tell you everything it's about. And I say that because there's a million people out there across America giving training. And I'm just a small guppy in this pond. But I'm not a social media celebrity trying to get you to come to my classes. I literally just want the body of Christ to be protected. If the master told you to sell a cloak and buy a sword, what were you going to do with the sword? Chop onions with it? Were you going to, you know, spank the kids with the flat side of the blade? I mean, what do you do with the sword? You protect yourself. And if you don't protect yourself, you don't protect your family. The Bible says you're worse than an infidel. You're a coward. You're not allowed into heaven once you've hit that caliber of sin. Now, at one of the last conferences my wife and I went to, we had a 50-year-old couple from New York. And the woman came up to me and said, Wrecker, I listen to your podcast. My husband doesn't. He thinks you are arrogant and overrated and inflated. And he was standing right in front of me when she said this. I said, okay, well, that's nice. And he doesn't believe that we need a gun. And I said, well, that's funny because I have a gun on me right now. And if I wanted to do something to you or to your wife, what are you going to do to stop me? Besides the fact I'm 6 foot tall and 300 pounds and this guy was about 5'7", 160. What are you going to do to me? Because I will break you in half before I pull the gun out. So if you don't ever think you're going to be in that situation. And in about 2 minutes of talking to this guy, because I got kind of serious with him. Like I said, I'm not here to make friends. If I make friends along the way, great. Praise God. But that's not what I'm here to do, because that's not how I help you. If I coddle you and I say, oh, look how great you are. Look how good you did. You bought all the right preps from all the right stores. Good job. Good job. You made a grocery store for the bad guy. That's what you did. If you don't have a way to prepare, well, pray for God for that. If you don't have a way to defend yourself, and there are people who are saying, come to me, I will show you, make a way or contact me. For Lord's sake, let's help one another as we can, guys, okay? But this guy, in about 2 minutes, said, well, I guess we need to buy a gun. What kind of gun should we buy, Doug? One that a person who's in their 50s and is afraid of firearms should buy is something that you're not afraid of, and you should go get a year's worth of training before you come back and ask me another question. And he's like, I have no idea why. I said, man, listen to me. It's not a BB gun. If you don't know what you're doing with this thing, you could hurt yourself, hurt someone else, hurt the wrong person. You can have a ND, a negligent discharge, while you're out and about at the movies or whatever. You know what can happen if you shoot your gun when you're not supposed to shoot your gun in places where you're not supposed to have a gun? You're going to get arrested for it. That's going to go on your record, and they're going to take your gun from you. So you need to use this common sense gun safety application along with practical training, and not, you know, standing upside down on a zip line, being a sniper like you think you are in some video game. That stuff is for the birds, man. That's not reality. Reality is most shootings happen within 6 feet. Reality is you have about a second to decide, pull my gun and shoot my gun. And if you don't train to that standard, like what the military is trained to, like what law enforcement is trained to, you're behind the curve, and the bad guy is always in front of the curve, and you were always reacting to the bad guy. But I can show you how to hit back first, as we say in law enforcement.
And you know, Doug, I just changed this subject a little bit. Just the moral breakdown of our country, you know, excuse the expression, but the podcast Hustle Bitch, you can go look them up. They just reported that they found those school buses. I sent you the link. The 15 school buses. I mean, if it's true that these are really those school buses, they found them on a military base next to a runway. The implications of that are just too fearful to think about. If that proves to be reality, that why would the military take 15 school buses, or why would somebody take 15 school buses? Not necessarily the military is involved, but they use military assets and bring them to a military base on Maui. And what do they bring them there for? Considering the fact that there's 1,000 children missing. This is the world we live in today.
I give you statistics. I'm going to give you two statistics, and then you can go back to this. Every year there's a reported 800,000 or more children missing
in the United States.
The United States. Every 34 seconds there is a person kidnapped in the United States. And it's a growing theme now to where almost 90% of every person that is kidnapped is extorted for money in the United States.
And sexually assaulted. Well, if it's a female, while the money is being pending, she's assaulted.
Or satanically, ritually abused and murdered.
But, you know, if that's true, it'll give you a window into the soul of America today that 1,000 children, and they've never told these parents, where's my children? Well, we don't know. No, we don't have any answers. I mean, I can't imagine government officials knowing that 1,000 children are missing and not giving any kind of information to parents. That has to be absolutely insane. I recommend watching the video that has a big picture of Oprah on it. And you can just watch it, but what it does show is a lot of Hawaiian citizens now coming to the realization that the fires were not natural. One of the ladies actually mentioned DEWs, direct energy weapons, and we're living in a society where children aren't looked at like you and I look at it. I have a grandson, and I look at him like the most precious thing in the world. I mean, I die 100 deaths to protect him. But we are dealing with a substantial portion of people in power who look at children as green pieces of paper called money. If I get that child, I can get a lot of money for him, and not with any thought of what kind of life that child is going to endure by some pervert who buys them. But we live in that society. We live in a society where we watch over and over again that people who commit violent, super violent crimes are let go, where a man who did barely anything is put in prison because he's conservative.
Well, look at Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is just now being indicted for something that's 5 years old. And
5 years old, and what do you want to bet? He gets some slap on the wrist penalty.
Well, originally with the gun charge, it was a slap on the wrist, and they tried to put into the court documents that he could never be indicted again either.
For anything.
And yet, you know, Joe Biggs, former InfoWars, Army Staff Sergeant, war hero. That man I don't agree with everything everyone does, and that's we're not here to really talk about that. But that man did nothing compared to what Antifa did in 2020 or Black Lives Matter did in 2020. You know, more or less, I guess the moral of the story is if you want to commit felonies, then you need to go to Seattle, Portland, Eugene, Salem, and then San Francisco. Oh, and New York City. Oh, and Chicago. And Denver.
And Miami.
Yeah. Well, there's a rhyme here. They're all Democrat cities. You know, we're getting so close, man. Let's go off script here for a second, like we have been the whole time. We wanted to talk about training to you guys. I'm kind of done talking about it. If you want training, contact me. If you don't want training, hey, man.
Pull up my website so they can see where they can click.
Well, while we do this, we are getting so close to civil war in this country, and we are getting so close to civil breakdown. I mean, like absolute breakdown. Almost everybody knows that the 2024 presidential election cycle has like terrorism, domestic terrorism. It has conspiracies and all this other stuff rubber stamped on it already, along with the violence, along with the rioting, along with all the lying, cheating, and stealing from the government. Oh, by the way, you can't say that on YouTube. That's why Doug's banned on YouTube for another 2 weeks. Baby's back in the corner. I don't care about that either. I don't want to say that. Even though I just got another strike on YouTube, I don't care. I really don't. Eventually, we're not going to be able to say what we want to say, and that's why we're migrating to Rumble. And that's why, unfortunately, this video is only going to be on Rumble, because the communists at YouTube don't want you to say it. But they promote all that violence, and they promote that dystopian future that we're all going into. Does anyone not think we're going to not be in that?
Let's just dissect that for a second. You know, read God's word.
Absolutely.
You know, we were shown the greatest favors of heaven, I think even greater than the nation of Israel, or at least equivalent to the nation of Israel in their prime. And we've rejected it. Not only rejected it, we absolutely mock it. And to think that we're going to be able to do that, reject the Most High, mock the Most High, and mock His law and get away with it, you know, you actually have, you need to rethink it. But that's why all this is happening. We've been turned over as a nation to being reprobate. We don't know good and bad anymore. We don't know right and wrong anymore. And so as we see this happen more and more, the chances of you being affected by it become greater and greater. Someone you know or you. But
here's the stuff for the course. If you go to Ready Made Resources, go up here to the top where it says sign up. Click on this. Oh, gosh. It'll bring you down to the active shooter course. Bob, I think we said we might actually put on a course every single month for like the next 6 months and see how that goes. So we'll see if we can facilitate it. This is what we're going to do with the next course. You're going to have a tactical combat casualty care course, the active shooter awareness and reaction basic course, which includes a lot of stuff in there. It's just active shooter is the most common thing to say because that's the most common scenarios, mass shootings, active shooter. But this can apply to any situation with the training we're giving you. You're also going to have an introduction into SEER training. Here's the number, 1-800-627-3809. If you want to sign up, go to Ready Made Resources. Please sign up. It's $800 per student. $50 goes to Ready Made Resources to use their facilities, to run the generators, to have the roads fixed, to have the port-a-johns out there. And if you want to camp, this is a great place to camp. It'd be a great time that year to camp. If not, do like I'm going to do, and you can have you a cabin on the side of the freaking river, and like at night or in the morning, enjoy your cup of coffee or a glass of wine, smoke a cigar, and just listen to the birds and bees and relax a little bit. It's an awesome little break from society. here's the gear list. All right, let's go over this real quick. If you want to bring your gear, bring it. If you want me to evaluate it, look it over, switch some things around, show you, I'll have all my stuff. I'll have all my guns here. I'll have all of my gear, so you can look at all my stuff. Bring a basic helmet setup and body armor if you want, and train in it. We suggest you have a long, thick shirt for protection against airsoft projectiles. They do kind of hurt a little bit, but they're nowhere near as bad as paintballs. Shooter's gloves. You might want to wear pants, a hat to protect you from the sun, eye protection, boots or shoes, your own water source, snack food. Food is on you while we are training. A flashlight for low light shooting if we get the chance to do stuff at night. And then we're going to go through a lot of safety drills, magazine exchange drills, all the different standing, kneeling, prone, walking, running to shooting, and agility drills. We're going to do that for the live fire. If you want to look at the whole rest of the course, and the course is also going to be updated. There's going to be some stuff in there that's not already up here. But like I said, guys, like the course is what it is. We've never had one person show up and say this was a waste of training. This was a waste of time.
And Doug, you know, we're going to be Christian men. We're going to, you mentioned communion. If anybody wants to do it, we're going to have a communion out there.
Yep.
Of just Christian men who partake, you know, of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to have fellowship. So it's going to be on time of just learning and growing network and building brotherhood among men and women. And so I just can't recommend it enough.
You know, every night's going to be a bonfire and a hangout.
Mention that little gray thing in the background right there. I think it belongs to Jamie.
So we have a new sponsor, Sofronio Outfitter Company, out of Cortez, Colorado. If you go to AmericanVindictusShow.com, you can see them. This is a tactical chest rig. Pretty cool. I've had a couple of these, but this is probably the best one that I've seen thus far. Has multiple different pockets and a lot of little accessories that come with this that are actually super nice. This is something that you can easily put your pistol in. Here's a pistol holster that comes with this. Plenty of other places to put stuff like your personal documents, cell phone. For me, I'm going to be using this for when we're doing a lot of our caving and exploration stuff. I can carry a small pistol. I can carry a few snacks in here. I can carry, you know, flashlights, extra batteries, signaling devices. But something cool like this, and you know, I mean, this is, I think you're going to spend roughly around 100 something for this piece. You can have your pistol, spare magazines, let's say, you know, some snack bars in here, a pouch or two of water, a tourniquet, pressure bandage, put this in your car and forget about it. And if anything ever happens, you take this out of your car. It has a very nice shoulder strap system for your chest rig. Throw it over your head, put your arms in it. And now all your stuff is here on your chest. If you had to walk home because an EMP happened, all right, let's just go that route. If the great EMP of 2023 does happen and you had to walk home and this was all you had, you're probably 99% better prepared than the average person walking down the road. And you don't have to carry a lot, you know, in order to be efficient to be able to get back home. It's multiple uses that you can get out of something like that. I think it's actually very high quality. I am, and Bob knows this, I am a stickler for gear. I typically only buy the most expensive stuff that I can find because I'm going to wreck my gear in my training. I'm going to ruin it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to see if I can't break it. Because I need to know its breaking points so that when prophecy hits the fan, I know this thing is actually worth the $100 I bought. It's not some garbage I bought off Amazon or out of Walmart that's just going to break and rip on me. This is actually high quality stuff. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, well, again, and you're supporting Jamie Walden. I want to thank everybody also that has prayed for him and his son because the son had a serious accident where he had some head injuries and spinal injuries. And, you know, Jamie does not have insurance. He's put all of his money into the ministry. And so, you know, there's a GoFundMe Doug has up, even if it's 10 bucks, but most of you can do more than that, but, you know, just help our brother out. You know, he's pouring his life out, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to support him. And also with that, you know, Ready Made Resources, we do have bills to pay as well. We just got 10 units of PVS 14. They're L3 units, which is the unfilmed. Unfilmed is going to absorb light better. It's going to take in more light, and you're going to see in extreme low light conditions better. It comes with everything you need. What we do is we put it in a Pelican case. So you're going to get a Pelican case to protect it. We're going to get the top of the line mount for it with a helmet. And so you're going to have it's not the standard bayonet lug. It's the dovetail lug mount for it. And so you're going to get that. We have a special price on it. We save about $700-$800. We do have financing available for those who need to finance it, so you can make payments over it. But for what's coming, I was just doing a program with somebody else also. This is going to be, I think, the most top shelf piece of equipment that you'll have. You need to train with it. You know how to use it. If you bring it or buy it at Ready Made Resources and you come to this class, we have plenty of area Doug can walk you around and then learn how to use that night vision equipment. So, you know, bring it or buy it. We only have a limited supply of these available. And so you just need to get one of these, because again, it is, like I said, you know, radio equipment and night vision are top tier, top shelf pieces of equipment that you absolutely will need to have when this thing comes unglued. And day by day, I'm watching it become unglued more and more. So I want to say that you can always contact Ready Made Resources. You can speak to me. I'd be glad to talk to you at 800-627-3809 or readymaderesources.com. Forgive me if I cough today. My wife, she's a martial arts instructor. She brought it home and then gave it to me, and it's miserable. So just pray that I can overcome it quickly. But, you know, night vision or thermal, it's going to be that thing that I believe will end up saving your life. If, again, you know how to use it. Don't buy it and put it in a box. Buy it and take it out. Even if you just go on a hike with it at night, buy it, go on a hike, and look at the wonders of what the strategic or the tactical capabilities it gives you.
Yeah, I'll say it like this. We have facilitated a lot of people who've come to the training. And I'll tell you, like I told them when they asked me, what should I do to get prepared? No fluff. What is it that you do? Easy. Night vision, thermal, good equipment, good weapons, better training, more training, than anything else. After that, you know, guys, when it comes to the survival food and stuff, take your pick. Okay. We're going to be having another sponsor on soon for food stuff. Really excited to introduce y'all to that guy. But, you know, if you're in a pickle, man, just go to Dollar General, go buy some, you know, pork and beans. It's calories. Calories is what you need. You know, you can have the fanciest stuff in the world, but if all you did was create a super Walmart for your suburb to come and clean you out with, because you have either you don't believe in weapons and that's your own personal choice, or you decided not to get any training and that's your own personal choice. You know, guys, Bob and I are not here to hold your hand when prophecies hit the fan and the crowd's coming down your street. I'm not going to be there. I can give you the tools that I know works to get you off the X, to get you out of the area, and to protect yourself. And after that is the grace of God. Always have God first, though. And I tell anybody, pray about it. If you feel like you're not trained and you need training, pray about it. If God leads you to come to the course, hey, man, that's awesome. If he doesn't, and God leads you to prepare in another way, because he'll bring the protectors to you, hey, man, That's the way God works. I don't understand it. All I can tell you is I know a little piece of the pie, and we're all going to take a big bite out of this ugly pie, but I can give you a slice or two out of my pie that can help you. Bob can give you a slice or two or three that can help you. You know, after that, the true life sustainment is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Your Bible better be the first thing you're training with before you pull a gun every day. That Bible, your prayer closet, there's your war zone. There's your war room. Get that in line first. Stop playing games with God. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked ways. How many times were the children of Israel told that? And they refused. But I will say this. God is a miracle worker. Jamie's son is up and walking around. He doesn't have a skull fracture. His back's not broken in two places. Our God is alive. Our Amen. God is alive. He is out and moving amongst his people. And so because of that, I asked for the shield wall to come up around him. I said, guys, listen, Record Nation, it's time for the phalanx of faith to do what they're supposed to. And you guys surrounded that little boy with prayer, and God heard the cries of his children, and he moved. Hallelujah. God is there.
Do you have the link to help Jamie financially through this? Because like I said, Jamie is not the kind of guy who's gone out and bought fancy cars and brand new $80,000 pickup truck. That's not who he is. Jamie has put every nickel into the ministry to build Calico Buffalo Ranch. And so, you know, with that, he's had to give up things that we take for granted, like insurance. And so, you know, we, as the body of Christ, we definitely want to help him out. And like I said, any amount of money, anything you can give helps out. And so I just want to make sure that link's up there.
It'll be on Hear the Watchman.
So,
yeah, if you go to Hear the Watchman, it should populate right up. If not, and you want to figure out how to donate, you can contact me and I can forward you the page for the donation, or you can contact Mike Kerr from Hear the Watchman. Great, great brother in Christ. And, you know, this is what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Body of Christ is supposed to be there. The church is supposed to be there for one another, not against one another, not dividing one another in theology and man-made doctrine and all this crap. Who wore the prettiest dress to Sunday school today? That is what is killing us. When we get back to praying for one another and being there and being reliable for one another, God is going to start to honor that in this country. He may not honor the overall survival of this country, but he will honor you. He will honor the body of Christ. That's what we need. I wish we had the church fathers out there saying this more and more, but very, very rarely do you ever hear them. They talk about this prosperity crap instead. But I'll tell you this much. I recently did a Google of the 20 most wealthiest pastors in America, and they all have security. You do. You don't. All right. Every congressman, they got security. Every one of these mayors, they got security. President has a whole army that surrounds them.
Winfrey has security. The Rock, right. Big Bad Rock, has security.
Yeah. Look, this is the last thing I'll say. Coming from someone who's prior law enforcement, do not rely upon law enforcement to be there to help you. You are your own first responder. And when times get really bad, Maui, Hurricane Rita and Katrina, you know, the coming Black Awakening, the coming apocalypse, no one's coming to save you. It'll be you and your skills and your tight-knit group. And many of you need to just get over that, get over the fear of that. The Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave you people in your life to help you, to assist you. Take that handout while it's there. Guys, we're not going to be here forever, you know, but I love you guys. I know Bob does. We appreciate you sustaining us. I appreciate every single letter that I get. Me and my wife, we cry and we weep and praise God for every time someone sends us $20, I mean, because we literally live off of your donations. Jamie doesn't have insurance. Once Jamie left his job, he left all that behind. When I left my job, I left retirement behind, every kind of insurance behind, and we pour everything into this ministry. So, you know, when you guys help support us, it just blows me away that anyone would even listen to me. I think I'm a nutcase half the time. And I know some of you email me that I'm a little bit too mean. You can get over that. File a hurt feelings report with your congressman. But other than that, man, you know, I'm so proud to be associated with the people who support us, Bob. I am so proud to be even somewhere within the shield wall, standing next to our brothers and sisters who are showing up for the fight. And it makes me proud to see Americans standing up, doing what is right, coming together, praying against these strongholds and beckoning for God to tear them down. That's what we need to be doing. Just imagine if you had 1 million preachers show up in front of the White House. Just imagine if you had 100,000 parents show up in front of a school and pray against the demons that are trying to demonize the kids. There's the power that God gave us. We need to start doing that. Bob, any last words?
No, just, you know, again, what you said, make Jesus Christ the first and foremost thing in your life. We mentioned in the roundtable discussion, in all things, Christ has to have the preeminence. He has to have the preeminence in your life. Nothing is more important than him. And, you know, seeking him, praying to him, walking with him has to have preeminence in your life. And in these days in which we live, my thinking is that unless you do that, you will fail. You will give in to the mark of the beast. You will abandon the faith. And so make Christ Jesus the preeminence in your life.
Yeah. Amen. Jesus comes first, you know, and once again, to all the fathers out there, it's your family. How prepared are you? Are you an asset or are you a liability? If you want to have that honest conversation, come out to the training. I promise you, you will not leave feeling like you're a liability anymore. That's not the goal. The goal is to lift you up, to motivate you, pray with you, to be there for you. If you got a man, people unload everything on me at times, and that's great. Unload it. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here for one another. Like I said, I'm not one of these guys, these TikTok wannabe millionaire tactical guru guys. Man, that's not me. I did all my cool guy stuff already. I'm here for the body of Christ. Use me as you can. Other than that, guys, I'll see you in the shield wall. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.